This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
You looking to sell your home? At realestateagentsitrust.com, our goal is to ease the stress of home selling by helping you sell your home as quickly as possible at the best price possible. Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and I want to thank you. In just the last few months, thousands of Blaze Radio listeners just like you have contacted our agents. So if you're thinking of selling your home, or if you want help buying a home, go to realestateagentsitrust.com and let our individually selected agents earn your business. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Beck. 888-727-BECK. Another good weekend for Ted Cruz. Maybe the best weekend since this whole thing began, because he split with Donald Trump in wins. They both won two states, although Cruz won quite a few more delegates. 16 more. It was 69-53. And there's a quick peek at it. That's the total, of course. 384 for Trump, 300 for Cruz. 151 for Rubio and Kasich. They all need to go away,
except for Kasich. I mean, you can tell right there that groundswell.
The groundswell of the 37 magical delegates
just starting to come up.
He wins magical delegates. There's, of course, delegates. There's super delegates, and then there's magic delegates. The magic delegates make it so that if you have less, you actually win.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So those are like golf delegates.
Right. They're almost like golf delegates. It's so bizarre that he thinks if he wins Ohio, so what? Even if he does, and I don't think he is. I don't think he's going to. But let's say he does. Okay, you won your home state.
Congratulations.
That's impressive to no one.
I mean, even he is.
No one.
Basically saying his hope is a brokered convention or a contested convention. I mean, you know, he has no path of actually winning the nomination straight out. I mean, there is an argument to be made, and I don't subscribe to this at this point, with Cruz being very close in delegates. I don't subscribe to this, but there's an argument to be made that you should, in those winner-take-all states, vote for whoever has the best chance of winning that isn't named Donald Trump. So if you're in Florida and you're a Ted Cruz supporter, vote for Marco Rubio. If you're in Ohio and you're a Ted Cruz supporter, vote for John Kasich. I'm not saying I subscribe to that. I'm not advising that. But I'm just saying that's the theory, being that if you can hold those two big states away from Trump, there's a good chance he can't get to 1,237 delegates, and then he will most likely not get the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not impossible. You know, if he gets 1,210, he might be able to go to somebody like, you know, John Kasich and say, hey, I'll make you VP if you
put me over the top.
Delegates. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he could still make a deal, and he's a deal guy, as we know. He'll sell out principles in a second to benefit himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he could easily do that. But as of right now, you know, 1,237 is difficult for anyone to get to unless the race really swings one way hard. Like if Cruz were to win Florida, for example, or to win Ohio, and he was able to take the lead from Donald Trump, and the polls started changing, and then he was winning, you know, most of the states, you know, then that might be able to happen for Cruz.
Please let that happen.
But please
close
let
enough.
That happen.
I mean, it's close.
Please
right
let
now.
It happen.
It's an 84 delegate difference.
I know. That's hardly anything.
It's a couple states.
And they're making it out like he's still running away with this. He's not.
He's not. Cruz is right in the thick of it.
And in fact, you know, is somebody who's done winning by 25 points in Kansas and then another 13 in Maine. Well, I mean, both of those blew people away because he was behind by six in Kansas in the polls. That's a 31-point swing. That's unbelievable. Trump beat Cruz 41-38 in Louisiana by 3 points. He was up by 20 in the polls. He won by three. And they tied in delegates. So Kentucky, the Kentucky caucus went to Trump 36-32. But Cruz won in Kansas 48-23 and Maine 46-33. Rubio is kind of an also-ran except in Puerto Rico where he won handily. Like 71% of the vote went to Rubio. But, you know, Puerto Rico is 23
delegates.
23
think, yeah.
delegates.
And he won all of them, by the way. So, that's, I mean, that is a good win. I mean, I'm not taking that away
from you. It's not even a state.
It is not.
It's not even a state.
It's
not a good win.
Who get to vote.
It's not a good win.
I mean, you got 23 delegates. That's a good win.
He's won one state and one territory.
Yes.
So.
Cruz has won, what, seven total?
Six, I think, now.
Six. He was saying five before Saturday.
He said he was combining him and he was combining he and Rubio, I think, to with five figures.
Well,
we beat you five times, he said.
Okay.
Are you talking about the debate?
That must be what I must have been what I was.
Because he knows he's won four states. And Rubio won one, and he said, we've beaten you five times. And that's, I think that's what he was going for.
Right.
But Rubio and their allies spent more than double the field per vote. Wow. Conservative Solutions PAC, which backs Rubio, spent $124,590 on ads in Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Maine in the 15 months leading up to Saturday. It doesn't seem like a lot in 15 months, does it? $120,000 in 15 months? That's not exactly saturating the market with ads. Rubio took 85,064 votes across the six states, or $1.46 per vote. Trump and Kasich spent no money on advertising. That's because Trump is funding his own campaign, wants to save all his money for himself, and Kasich has no money. So that's where that comes from. Trump got the largest number of votes in the Republican field, 230,000. Kasich came in last, 62,000. Ted Cruz got nearly the same number of votes as Trump. So it was 230,443 to 230,209.
Wow. So basically a tie.
Jeez. That is amazing. But he spent $60,240 to do it, so it was about 26 cents per vote. That's pretty good spending, I'd say. 26 cents a vote? I'll go along with that.
Yeah.
Take that all day, every day.
Jeffy, what'd you sell your vote for again?
More than 26 cents, even my vote.
Wow, really?
More than 26 cents.
Well, it's one of the few things that you have that is equally valued to others. Like, your vote counts just as much as the same as people who are upstanding citizens.
That's not true. The founders made the Jeffy exception in the Constitution.
The Jeffy Clause?
Yeah, the Jeffy Clause.
The one-fifth act.
Except Jeffy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. But in the CPAC straw poll, you know, where people show up who are conservative, Cruz had 40% of the vote among the 2,659 attendees who participated in the poll. Rubio was second with 30%, and Trump had 15. 40, 30, 15. Interestingly, this is kind of interesting, Bernie Sanders had 1%. At CPAC? A socialist? Kind of weird.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess, you know, there is, I guess.
Maybe it's a joke vote?
Yeah, maybe it's a joke. Maybe it's like there's some of that sort of, I don't know. It does seem like, some of the people who could vote for, you know, who would vote for Trump would agree with Bernie Sanders on a lot of issues.
We've highlighted
that many times. So maybe it's like a Trump supporter who doesn't like his attitude.
Maybe.
Probably is a good fit maybe with Bernie Sanders.
All right. Also, Mitt Romney not ruling out accepting the GOP nomination at a contested convention. I doubt that will happen. He has said that's not his goal or his aim. But he refused yesterday to rule out becoming the nominee again this year at a brokered convention, though he insisted he couldn't imagine that happening. He said, I don't think anyone at our party should say, oh, no, even if the people of the party wanted me to be president, I would say no to it. No one's going to say that. Well, it sounds kind of like he ruled it out.
No, he's saying
no one is going to say no to that. Okay,
right. So
I see.
I mean, I think he's not a candidate right now, but if they name him president, he's going to run. Probably. I mean, which, by the way, could happen, although I find it to be unlikely. I feel like, you know, the likelihood of that happening is really low. The contested convention thing is there, but, I mean, you need someone that you're going to unite around, right? Like, you need someone who's going to, say, all right, we need somebody who's going to take both sides. You know, that's why I think Rubio wants it, and I think why Kasich wants a contested convention, because if they can get there, they're kind of like, you know, Rubio's seen as conservative, but not, you know, is still comfortable for the establishment. Kasich is seen as moderate, but, you know, maybe some, at least he's got Ohio, maybe as an important state, so maybe he'd be the guy. I don't think that would happen. Not with Kasich. He's too bad a candidate. Rubio is at least a pretty decent, halfway decent candidate, although it has not worked for Rubio, let's be honest about it. I mean, it's not, you know, I was thinking about this morning. Because Glenn was going over some of the Rubio stuff. And again, it was a really bad night for Rubio. Someone, I think it was 538, did a rundown of who had the good, out of a scale of 1 to 10, who had a good night. Mm-hmm. Cruz was a 9 out of 10. Trump was a 4 out of 10.
Wow.
They were saying that Trump, you know, it wasn't completely destroyed, didn't destroy his candidacy or anything, but he did not do well. And I think Rubio was a 1 out of 10 or something. You know, Rubio really did not have a good day on Saturday. But if you think about this, because I, you know, obviously I'm a Cruz guy, and I like Cruz better, even if it weren't for this one exception. But if Marco Rubio didn't support the Gang of Eight, he's probably the nominee right now. Right? Like, if he didn't do that one thing, because there's other things that I'm uncomfortable with him on. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's probably the nominee.
That's probably right.
It's probably the main reason why he's not the nominee. That one support of one bill, which he's since reversed.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
And I don't know that he's actually reversed it, and there's questions on that, but... I remember this at the time, being thinking, what the hell is he doing?
There goes his chance for, I think we might have said it, in fact. There goes his chance for president.
Yeah, because, you know, you could, even if he voted for it, even if he actually voted for it, you could still make the case it would be okay. The fact that he was one of the leaders forming the bill is
really bad.
He was a lead guy.
And who he worked with. Is really critical.
Chuck
there,
Schumer.
Too. Come
and,
on.
Who else was in there? Who was the Republican people? Orrin Hatch
McCain,
was one of them.
Hatch. McCain. Yeah.
I mean, you know, just
suspects.
A group you don't want to be involved in. And I think maybe he saw it as an opportunity to, you know, take on this tough issue and you know, raise my profile or whatever. But it really hurt him. I mean, you know what? People
have
not forgiven
him. It was a poison pill. He didn't want it to pass. Mm. It was a poison pill. I love that he wrote it. And he accuses Ted of putting in the amendment being a poison pill. That's what they said at the time. Now he says, no, he wanted it to pass. But it was his bill that he helped write.
Yeah.
And now he's taking the poison pill argument for himself.
Right.
I mean, everything he did, he's trying to put on Ted.
And he's trying to say, I wanted the House to make it better. That was his argument. It's like...
Dumb.
It's and like... let's say the bill's a crap sandwich, okay? And Ted Cruz offers an amendment to put ketchup on it. That doesn't mean he wants to eat it, right? he's still not going to eat the sandwich, but he did say, hey, this would make it taste a little better if we had to.
At least we can maybe cover the smell with the ketchup.
Right. Like, if we had to eat this,
right,
it would taste a little better with the ketchup on it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm still not going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Where Marco Rubio actually made the crap sandwich.
Yeah. He pooped it out.
And then he said, I hope. Thank you. That was nicely.
Thank you.
Nicely formatted there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure people were understanding.
No, I think they did.
They did. All right.
And then he said, well, I just hope that once it goes to the House, they'll make it into ham and cheese. He's like, well,
you can't make crap into ham and cheese.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
You can't.
It's not. You can make ham and cheese into crap. You cannot make crap into ham and cheese.
No, that's right. That's right. So
that's a fact.
That is a fact. I know you've tried.
That's a fact.
You've tried many times, right?
That's a fact.
Yeah. All right. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was really with Mitt. You know, I think he just feels strongly about Trump not being the candidate. I really do. I don't think he's angling to be president. I don't think he's angling to run. He just wanted to get his point of view out there. And the problem is, I don't know that anybody cares about his point of view. I don't think they do. After what happened in 2012, I don't think they care now. And it's like, okay, you had your shot twice, and you blew it. And especially last time, we're really pissed that you blew it. And we're kind of done with you now, so go away.
Okay, we're sorry. Yeah. We're, you know, we're happy that you're upset and all that. Mm-hmm. But
I think that's
away.
I do think there is, Mitt Romney still has access to donors and money and certain levers of power that maybe he can shield some other people who are worried about standing up against the Republican nominee.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why he did it. He waited too long, though. He should have done this 6 months ago.
Should have done it a long time.
All these people should have.
Everybody's waited way too long.
Look at what's happened with Trump's polls since both Cruz and Rubio. Cruz gets some blame here, too, by the way. I understand the philosophy behind it, but it's frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, the Cruz, Rubio, since they've been really going after Trump, what you've seen is he's underperformed polls drastically. The changes between early votes and later votes are drastic. People are, you know, I think, starting to see this. And, of course, the left knows this. When you're going to be able to, I mean, think of the ads you're going to be able to write about Donald Trump. We kind of talked about one racially where he had the KKK comment, where he didn't disavow the KKK. I need to learn more about that group and David Duke, right? And yeah, did he also disavow it the day before? Yeah, he did. Guess what's not going to make it into the ad is that, right? Mm-hmm. You've got that where he can't disavow the KKK. You've got a quote where he said he probably said it, which was laziness is a trait in blacks. You've got one former a casino employee that said when Donald Trump came to the casinos, they removed all the black employees off of the floor, which in and of itself sounds like kind of rumor. Maybe it's an employee that's, you know, a little, I don't know,
disgruntled
or whatever. Understandable, except for the fact that today another story came out with ties with him, with the mob, in which he was excusing high rollers in his casino. And when one of these high rollers would lose, he would get very angry and start abusing people on the floor, and eventually got to the point where he demanded that no black people or women were any of the dealers at the tables he was at. And guess who complied with the order? But the Trump casinos against New Jersey law. I mean, you're going to be able. They're going to go through. I mean, he said black people. He didn't want black people counting their money. Now, you might say, well, some of these statements are old, and some of them are old. The KKK one is not, but some of them are old. But think of the ads they're going to do. How many of those things have you even heard in the media yet? Most of them haven't even been discussed yet, except for passing reports. They will all be compiled into ads, and there's going to be one on black people. There will be plenty of them on women. There will be plenty of them on greed. There will be plenty. I mean, they will be able to paint this guy into the worst human being in the world. And he's only, in reality, the fifth worst person in the world.
Is he fifth?
He's fifth.
Fifth?
He's only fifth. So they're going to try to make him the worst person in the world. Reality, he's only fifth. And the point here is that...
Who are the top four?
Jeffy is number one.
All right.
You're not taking that. He's not taking my slot.
No, he's not. He can't get that.
Back off.
You got to go Harry Reid.
Harry Reid is number two.
Okay.
And then I think a couple of
murderers. Barack Obama's in there.
Well, he's the president. We didn't count him. A couple of murderers are in there, though. Too.
Oh, all right.
Mass murderers. Okay. Child killers, things like that, you know. But the point being here that they are going to be able to build the. I mean, they haven't even built the campaign yet, right? They haven't even started it, and they're just starting to turn that corner and saying, "Hey, it looks like this guy's the nominee. Let's take him out." Yet he still has 66% unfavorables in some polls.
Yeah.
He has the worst favorability rating in history. So the point here is that, like, once he gets in front of these people who already don't like him, how is he going to win those people over?
He's not.
He's going to get destroyed.
888-727 Beck, more Pat and Stu coming up in a minute.
So they're talking now about getting rid of high-level cash. They're talking about... Oh, thank you. They're talking about getting rid of high-level cash. You know, $100 bills, $50 bills. You need those, Jeffy? I mean, that's not a big deal, right? Greece is just talking about getting rid of their 500, their large note... What's that?
It's bad.
Yeah.
For people that are doing things illegally.
Well, yes. See, this is they will use the Jeffy argument.
You're darn right they will.
And they'll say, look, you know, people like Jeffy are using cash to do all these illegal things.
Always for
if we only had access and all these transactions happened on credit cards and other things, then we could control it a lot better. We could see what Jeffy's doing with his money. Now, look, I know you're not doing the illegal things that Jeffy is. You just care about having sound currency. But are you getting the signals that it is sound? I'm not. They're saying now that this is the thing, the note they just gave us. U.S. oil bankruptcies spiked 379% last year. 379%. Companies are going out of business. The economy is shaky at best. And how do you deal with that? You need an insurance policy against it. It's Goldline. 1-800-913-GOLD is the number. You know, read their important risk information. See if buying gold is right for you. You can ask about their accumulation special where you can get started for $100 a month. And you might as well get started now while you still have $100 bills and they're still in circulation. 800-913-GOLD is the number. 800-913-GOLD. It's Goldline.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-3620. That's 800-261-3620.
Hello and welcome. 888-727. Beck is the phone number here. And my microphone is off, isn't it? I think my microphone is.
Oh, that's what. So
there we go. 888-727. Beck is the phone number. It's a pulled a little Jeffy there, huh? Yeah, not good. All right. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Since we've been talking about this brokered convention thing and somebody riding into the rescue, and obviously that's somebody for us, and I don't think for very many people is Mitt Romney. Who that hasn't been, see, that's the thing about having the best field of candidates in history is all the good people are in it. And many have dropped out by now. We still have the best one there, and he still might win. But let's say they come to a brokered convention, and they can't come to a conclusion. So who would you want to ride to the rescue for the Republican Party? I can't think of a single Republican I would say, well, yeah, him. If he jumps into this, I'd be all over that.
Dick Gephardt.
Dick?
Okay, he comes over,
Gephardt.
Crosses the line, and this is how this winds up happening.
Al Gore.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few that I would like. I don't know that would unite
who?
The part. You know, like Mike Lee.
Okay.
Mike Lee can step in.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Somebody who's high profile enough that the Republican Party would say, yeah, okay.
Well, he was already in. He was already in, and he got shoved off to the side, but, I mean, he's willing to come back.
Who? Oh, man.
Is that CPAC?
Here comes.
Jim Gilmore.
Yep.
Jim Gilmore.
Same.
This is how you plan. This is the plan the whole time, wasn't it?
Well,
broker convention from the beginning.
Now, the name, I would say, people are throwing around Romney because he was already the nominee. The other one people are throwing around is Paul Ryan. Now, Ryan says
Oh, that's the one I've seen. Ryan is not a good choice for this.
No. But, I mean, he just got confirmed as a speaker. So, I mean, obviously he's got support in the party.
Arguably more powerful than even the president.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't think he would necessarily be volunteering himself. But as Romney said, if someone offers it to you,
you
don't have to do all the work of the campaign. You just got to step in, get all the funding, and you're going one-on-one with Hillary.
I don't know.
I'd be surprised if he actually turned it down. But, I mean, you know, they did just put him through the process of a very powerful position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not completely completely insane to think that he would be that type of guy. That's what they do with judges all the time. Like, they were talking about this with the Supreme Court justice here, in that they were saying, well, what about this guy? I can't remember his name. His first name is S-R-I. I don't know.
Shree?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to spell it. The last one is not something I'm going to attempt here. Mm-hmm. But he was confirmed like 97 to nothing or something for some lower court. And they're like, well, why don't we just put him out there? You just confirmed 97 to nothing. Now, of course, there's a different standard.
Absolutely.
But still, at least you have some argument. Romney did go through this process in 2012, so you could kind of make that same point that he's already made it through these rounds, so maybe he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is there another guy that you could think of? Is there a governor that you could put in there? Is there a...
Well, you know, the only governors I really know that well, Jindal, obviously, Rick Perry, former governor. Nobody would be thinking Abbott yet, Greg Abbott. He's too new. I don't know. There's no rising star. Other than
the people who ran,
You
can't
Cruz,
give it to Bobby Jindal.
You got Rubio,
1%.
You got Jindal. Those are the rising stars in the Republican Party, and two of the three are pretty. I mean, one of them's definitely gone. The other one's about to go. So, you know, it's got to be Cruz or nothing.
Well, it's not going to be Cruz if it gets to a brokered convention. I don't.
No, no. He's got to win this thing out.
This is why, like, people are criticizing Cruz, who kind of like even people who are anti-Trump. But they might like Rubio or whatever. They're saying, well, he's starting to run ads against Rubio in Florida.
Yeah, well, get him out. Yes.
And he's trying to win.
He's not
trying to get to a broker convention. Right. Cruz is the one trying to win. You know, Rubio, Kasich certainly is trying for a broker convention. Yeah. Rubio has...
That's all they have now, right?
Rubio, if Cruz dropped out, he might have a chance, although it's a much bigger uphill battle than Cruz has
much,
but still, I mean, maybe if it was a one-on-one, Rubio would have a shot.
He's not even, he's at barely at 50% of the delegates that Ted has. So,
yep.
I mean, you know, that's a really long shot. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Also, over the weekend, and this got very little play even on the Drudge Report because they had to run the story of Marco Rubio in a really big rocking chair from 9 months ago or 7 months ago. Nancy Reagan died over the weekend, 94 years old. She was the first lady. She, of course, really, I thought she was a great first lady. Others, not so much. She got hammered early on for that China, not China the country, but China the plate situation.
Which is not even true.
Which is not even true. And completely undeserved. And then the Just Say No to Drugs thing was kind of her initiative. A way better initiative than don't eat anything but vegetables that Michelle Obama is on. I mean, don't tell me what to eat. I mean, I like the theory of we shouldn't do drugs. You know, I agree with that.
I mean, and her point was, I mean, obviously the Reagan administration was very tough on drugs, but her point was just say no to them. It wasn't even a law she was trying to get passed. She was just saying, hey, kids, you know, try to do something else. Say
try
no.
This. And no. It was no, so, thank you.
It was so knocked as if it was like, oh, that's uncool. Like, you know, it was, you know, just say no. How could we possibly do that? It's like, well.
Same with abstinence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, same thing.
Well, they can't do that. They're going to have sex. They're animals, aren't they? They're just like animals. They don't have any will. Really? Oh, okay.
It's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's an interesting theory, but.
I mean, sex is different than drugs.
Sex is
different.
I love the Washington Post take on her passing. Really positive. Nancy Reagan goes through, you know, that she was first lady, blah, blah, blah. The first comments on her. As first lady from 1981 to 1989, Mrs. Reagan had a knack for inviting controversy.
Jeez.
From her spending habits to her request that the White House abide by an astrologer when planning the president's schedule. Mrs. Reagan was undeniably the president's closest advisor and the most senior woman in the inner circle. At various times, she was intimately involved in staffing and political decisions.
Seems like the astrology thing was debunked a long time ago as well. I have to look into that again, but it seems to me that the astrology thing was way overblown.
I mean, it says that
I don't remember
she was
very well,
essentially
but.
Overprotective. According to the Washington Post, eventually this overprotection led to her consulting an astrologer, Joan Quigley, who predicted good days for the president to travel or even leave the White House and bad days when he should stay home. Mrs. Reagan insisted that the staff follow her guidance. Mrs. Reagan was also often seen as the bad cop to her husband's congenial good cop, putting her at odds with senior staff who wanted more exposure for Reagan. After Hinckley attempted to assassinate her husband in 1981, Mrs. Reagan kept his senior aides and sympathetic public at bay while he convalesced. argued vociferously against his running for re-election in 1984. That I didn't remember.
Didn't want to re-elect either.
Because he was worried about him. But it goes into, you know, this is just excerpts from, but the first, like, three or four paragraphs were all just negatives. The things that she was, it was controversial. Yeah. She was mean to the staff. She was kind of crazy with her spending. The astrology thing. It's like, all right, you know, she did a lot of good things, too. And it would be nice if those were focused on a little bit more.
Yeah.
She was the first lady.
Thank you, Washington Post. What do you think their eulogy would be for Michelle Obama in 40 or 50 or 60 years?
Those
arms. Those arms
would be the title.
The arms, wow, the
and
arms.
Her tremendous and just move
all the caring,
initiative.
The caring, the let's move. And she tried
drink
to
more
save
water.
A whole generation of Americans. And, oh, she was wonderful. And those arms. Did you see the arms?
I saw the arms.
Oh,
I saw the arms. Even in her casket, they looked incredible.
The arms.
The
arms
97-year-old arms of Michelle Obama.
She's been
Obama.
Buried now for 6 months, but those arms remain. They're incredible. They're so amazing.
Is it possible that they won't deteriorate? Like they'll just stay the way
they are? Oh, yeah. I'm thinking it's likely they won't deteriorate.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're not prepared, you have to rely on others. That's never a good thing. You might have to rely on Jeffy.
I mean,
you know, that guy, please. He eats poop sandwiches, right? We talked about that a few minutes ago. It's not good. So you want to be in control of feeding yourself and your family, of course, and My Patriot Supply can help you do that.
And get you good food, 4 weeks of it, for $99. That's a four-week emergency food supply for $99.
Yeah, you get 140 servings of food, and that food will last up to 25 years because it comes in these pouches, which are amazing. They're fantastic, and they're very resistant to boll weevils, I find. They're really
100%.
Awesome. Yeah, pretty much 100% boll weevil resistant.
That's nice.
So give them a call and ask them about free shipping, too. And get this special by calling 888-411-5290. 888-411-5290 right now or online at preparewiththeblaze.com.
It's a limit of two per caller. Again, it's 4 weeks of food, $99. 888-411-5290 or online at preparewiththeblaze.com. Just a couple quick notes to wrap up the presidential thing we were talking about.
All right.
The upcoming schedule for GOP.
Right now you've Tomorrow night.
Yeah, right now you have 384 for Trump, 300 for Cruz, 151 for Rubio.
That is according to AP?
This is the New York Times one.
New York Times.
They're all right around that area, but they're not exactly. There's some that are more favorable to Cruz than that, but I would, you know, I'm trying to give.
Yeah, there's one that has Cruz at 632.
Oh, it's a Pat poll.
Trump at 5.
Right.
And Rubio at 2.
The Pat poll. Yeah,
it's the Pat poll.
So, wait, so Rubio's behind Trump in the Pat poll?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what happened.
It's the way I look. You
look,
don't control
it. I don't control
it. It's just you just take the poll.
That's right.
Okay, so that's what the situation is. Starting up tomorrow, right? Is tomorrow the 8th? Yes. Tomorrow's the 8th. So you have Hawaii, 19 delegates.
Idaho,
32 delegates. Michigan, 59. And Mississippi, 40. Those are all
59.
Proportional.
Okay.
They
are?
Yeah, there's no winner-take-alls there, at least. There's different formulas all over. But those are not winner-take-all.
Have you seen any polls? Of course, the polls are almost meaningless. After you see what happened on Saturday night, where Cruz was behind by 6, wins by 25 in Kansas, and then he's behind by 20 in Louisiana, loses by 4, and ties in delegates, I don't know that you even trust the polls.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Screw the polls. Just go out and vote for Ted Cruz.
Well, I would say that's a good way of thinking about it. You should screw the polls and not think about the polls when you're voting. But I would say there's some accuracy to that. Because one of the things that's hard about this is polls usually take 3 days. It takes 3 days to get enough people to get in to give you a good scientific sample. So it takes 3 days. And you just don't go 3 days at this time without either a contest or an event, like a debate or a major statement, a major
interview.
And
we had one.
We had one on Thursday, so there's no polls.
And it may have had quite an impact.
It seems like it did. Who knows? That was, I think, Cruz's best debate as it relates to the field.
And
he had another one that was really good, too.
And Trump has had two in a row now that were really bad for him. And this last one was on a lot of substance. And I think it exposed him for being the liar he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he looked like a backtracker, too. And maybe that hurt him. Maybe that finally, you know, impacted some people that, well, maybe he doesn't say what he means and mean what he says, and he doesn't tell it like it is. Maybe that impacted him. I don't know.
Don't know. So here you go. Hawaii, Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi on March 8th, which is tomorrow. Then March 12th is Washington, D.C., and Guam. Okay.
I'm afraid that the voting will cause that island to tip over and capsize.
Mm, right, so many people rushing to the polls at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could easily happen.
In the same place. I hope they've spread out the voting places in a way that causes the island not to capsize.
Yeah, I hope so, too. That's very...
We'll look into that.
And then March 15th is really an important day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are talking about a couple things happening, which are important, but ignoring some others. Florida is a winner-take-all, 99 delegates, the big prize.
99 delegates on the wall, 99 delegates on the wall. You take one down, you give it to Cruz, 98 delegates on the wall.
So you got that, which is really important. 99 delegates, obviously Rubio needs to win that, really to stay in the race.
No.
And then you have, remember, of course, before this happens, you're going to have another debate. We have a debate on Thursday again.
God, it's just amazing. Can you stop at the every Thursday debate?
I know. So Florida, 99 delegates. Then you also have Ohio, and that's what Kasich needs to win, right?
Yeah.
He has 66 delegates at stake there, winner take all. Also, by the way, no one's talking about Illinois, which is more delegates than Ohio, 69 delegates, and winner take all. And nobody's talking about it at all. Then you have North Carolina that has 72 delegates, which is not winner-take-all, however. That one is proportional.
North Carolina has more delegates than Illinois
and Ohio?
Yep.
And then Missouri has 52 that day as well, which is proportional. And then the big one, really, is winner-take-all contest in the northern Mariana Islands, which is 9 delegates are at stake. Now, Pat is has really laid this out, I think, pretty well, saying that the Southern Mariana Islands just don't matter at all.
They're meaningless. I don't care about them. Nobody cares about them. Don't forget about the Southern Marianas.
You've advocated invasion.
I have. And I proudly advocate invasion of the Southern Marianas.
But by the Northern.
The North.
By
the North.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. The Northern Marianas need to take out the Southern Marianas. I mean, not kill them all, but just take them over and... And run the country the way it should be.
Run to one side of the island and make it capsize.
Yes. One or the other.
One or the other.
Maybe both.
We can't do that because we still
Your microphone's not on.
We still want the northern people to live. We don't want that.
Yeah, we want them all to live.
We're not advocating violence. We're just advocating invasion. totally different. I hope you people are seeing that.
They've often said, it sounds cliche. I almost didn't say it because it's so cliche.
Right.
But the Northern Marianas are the key to the Republican domination. And, I mean, how many times have you heard that?
One. Exactly one. Exactly one. So that's the 15th, and that's a big day.
It gets tiresome, doesn't it?
It does.
After hearing it that much?
It does.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Virgin Islands on the 19th.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Is that important as far as the islands go?
Virgins are always important.
Okay, good.
Amen, Pat.
The 22nd is Arizona winner-take-all, 58 delegates. Utah, 40 delegates, not winner-take-all. There's a lot coming up in the next few weeks. You got to imagine by the 22nd, once you get past the 15th, you're either Kasich or Rubio's probably out.
Good.
You'd think. Unless they both win.
Maybe both.
If they both win, they might both be in.
Jeez, I hope not. Please no.
But if Trump is able to, I don't know. I feel like without looking at one poll on it, my guess is Donald Trump is winning Illinois. I don't know if that's true. But if it is true and he's able to win Florida and Ohio, that's going to get him, 120, 130, 230 delegates in one day. I mean...
I'm going to say no to that. That's not going to happen.
Okay, Pat's going to say no. The Pat poll shows, by the way, that he is losing Illinois.
Yeah, by a lot.
98 to 1.
Yeah, a lot.
With 1% undecided. Ted Cruz is winning, by the way.
Yes, that's true. Kasich has 0.00001%.
What's the margin of error on that?
Plus or minus 100.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very accurate poll.
It could be 200% accurate, though. It could be the most accurate poll in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how that
works. Or it might be zero.
We don't
know.
Per se.
You know, so whatever. Whatever. There's a gathering storm in the global economy. Are you aware of this?
Mm-hmm.
Central banks are running out of options. The Bank for International Settlements, known as the Central Bank's Central Bank, is warning that there's a gathering storm in the global economy. In part, it's stupid Moody Blues song is going through my head. How does it go? Rise up the gathering gloom. What was... never mind. In part caused by governments around the world running out of monetary policy options. In two separate notes published on Sunday, BIS economists highlighted the fragile global economic backdrop and said negative interest rates could become a reality for many more countries as central banks search for ways to stoke real growth and battle issues like tumbling oil prices. This is where the oil price thing, you know, while it looks good at the pump and we all like paying, you know, $30 or $40 to fill up a 20-gallon tank when it used to cost $80 or $90, it's great at that point, but then it starts to impact the economy. Then it starts to impact everything else. Yeah. And now it's not so great. In a report titled Uneasy Calm Gives Way to Turbulence, they say that 2016 is off to a terrible start and that central banks are really freaking out right now. Federal Reserve's interest rate liftoff in December did little to disturb the uneasy calm. And why would it? You know, you're raising interest rates and that's telling everybody what? That you're in trouble, right? I mean, it's seemingly one
they're
indicator.
Saying, it says the opposite, where they're saying, well, now the economy is working well enough, we can raise rates again.
And they know that's not true.
Well, it's tough
they
because they don't have, what can they do? You lower, it used to be that they would lower rates when there was issues. And so they would, it would increase economic activity because people could borrow more money and spend more money. Then when things are going really well, they didn't want inflation around to go crazy, so they would raise rates.
Right.
Well, now what they've done is they've lowered rates to zero, essentially, the lowest rates they can possibly go without going negative. And they've kept them there for so long that now when there's economic trouble, there's nowhere to lower them to. They can't lower them anymore because they're already at zero.
And what's her face? Janet Yellen said she's not even sure it's legal to go negative rate in America. She said she didn't even know if it was legal.
Right. I mean, which is obviously it shouldn't be.
Yep. And so then their answer to that was so.
It usually is. Although they did not go to negative rates. In fact, they raised the rate here. So
yeah. And they're talking about doing it again.
Yeah.
You know,
they're talking about a quarter every quarter.
Yep.
So it'd be a whole point by the end of the year. So if you want to refinance your house or whatever, 3 months ago was a really good time to do it.
And this goes back to, you know, not to give them a free commercial, but gold mines, the same thing. It's what are you talking about there? When you see these sorts of things happening with rates going up, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, I mean, it's great.
Gold is going to go up.
Yeah. I'm no investment advisor. You got to look into it yourself. But still, it's something to consider for sure.
It is.
And it's going, you know, it's not what President Obama says, though.
And seriously, if you're at an interest rate of 5 or 6 or 7%, maybe you got your loan a while ago. This would be a good time to refinance before it goes up again.
Yeah, Jeffy, what are the loan shark rates at right now?
Depends on the shark, Stu.
I didn't know that I was not up. I was not up on but it.
Wow, that was apparently a really stupid question.
I guess so. Very. There's not like a standard loan shark rate,
huh?
Like 35% a day or something.
I mean, we can discuss that, but I mean,
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if I were to do that.
Oh, okay.
I see. But so, hypothetically.
It just varies. You got different people have different rates.
Okay, fine.
It depends on a lot of different variables, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you've borrowed before a lot of times. Uh-huh. If you're trying to.
If you've already broken someone's leg, for example, and you needed to break another leg, would you re-break the first leg or break the second leg new?
I'd probably go with the new one.
Really? Yeah. I just feel like it would be easier to break a leg.
Yeah, that's why you go with the new one.
Okay.
Make a point.
Okay.
You don't keep breaking the same leg. They loses the...
The impact.
It's tough to break bones, though, because then people have a tough time paying. You know, I hate to do it.
Right.
I mean, the guys that do it, I hate to do it.
Right. Because they can't go to work and earn the money to pay
almost
you back.
Almost makes you feel bad that they can't pay and you just have to keep...
Breaking
adding
things.
Up interest.
Yeah. That's why a lot of people go fingers, right? You start with a finger.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you really just said yeah to that really fast. I was joking.
Oh,
Barack Obama seems to say the economy is great. Maybe he's a loan shark as well. Here's him talking about how wonderful the job numbers were.
This morning we learned that the U.S. economy had created 242,000 jobs last month. That's 2 months in a row.
Says that like
it's a lot. The unemployment rate of below 5%. Mm-hmm. And over the past 3 months, our workforce has grown by 1.5 million people. That is progress. Mm. You know, I don't expect that these facts and this evidence will convince some of the politicians out there to change their doomsday rhetoric, talking about how terrible America is. But the American people should be proud of what they have achieved. The numbers, the facts, don't lie.
Sure is. That is unbelievable.
And I think it's useful, given that there seems to be an alternative reality out there from the some of the political folks that America's down in the dumps. Mm. It's not.
Down in the dumps.
America's pretty darn great right now.
Did he just call our country snot?
It's snot. Yes, he did. Yeah, I just heard it. Here's the guy who 5 days before the election said he was going to fundamentally transform the country. And he's bashing other politicians for talking about how America is going to be great again. Yeah. Are you kidding me? This is the guy who wanted to fundamentally transform it and has done a pretty damn good job at that. He's well on his way to doing. If he had another 4 years, he could complete that process of fundamental transformation. I mean, you talk about a guy who doesn't think America's great. He's the epitome. Is that the pot calling the kettle? Mm. I won't say what color
Don't you racist.
Holy cow, would that be racist. More Pat and Stu coming up in a minute.
He's kind of like make America great for the first time.
Yeah,
kind of
yes.
The way he's
he
run.
Is. Yes.
His campaign. Make America great for the first time in our adult
well,
lives.
His wife had never been proud of America until
right.
She got nominated. Beck, Pat and Stu, something we want to talk about today. I don't know if there's enough time here. Is Peyton Manning retired?
Oh, today's the day, right?
Today's the day. I mean, he's already kind of announced it, but I guess they're going to make it official today. After a Super Bowl victory, he's finito. He's all
riding off into the sunset. Probably. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It's how it should have happened.
It's how it should happen. It's win
tough.
The Super Bowl and leave. And he just had his worst year of all time last year, and it was not good.
But it was a Super Bowl winning.
But it was a Super Bowl winning.
I would say it was pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
Was it not a good year from his standards, or really any quarterback standards statistically? Mm-hmm. But a lot of that was early in the year. I mean, he was not bad
That's
in the playoffs.
True.
I mean, you know, he had a couple of passes in the Super Bowl that were very shaky.
Yeah.
But remember, this is a guy who's going to retire as the best regular season quarterback in history.
And now you don't have to put that tag on him. I mean, because he's won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, so he's
probably... He went to four, he won two.
Whether he's the best or not, I don't know if I would put him as number one, but
he's pretty close.
He's a top five guy.
Best of all time with no qualifier.
I think he's top five.
Yeah, he's for sure top five, and it's... I mean, it's all subjective. Yeah. More Pat and Stu's coming up.
Jeffy many times slash
no try to save.
Help try to save it doesn't work out so well.
Yeah.
Jeffy, I think you actually tweeted this weekend because people were talking about the whole thing about Glenn stabbing me. and how people, oh, he was trying to stab Donald Trump, which is obviously BS to anybody who listens to the show more than 15 seconds. But it's like the open of the Pat and Stu show features Jeffy dying multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People were reminding, our audience was great this weekend about covering for the show.
Our audience is great every weekend and all the time.
Yeah. And that was the big tweet. What they were saying was, they're open kills Jeffy multiple times. Don't they get it?
No, they don't.
Of course, backed you up, both of you up, by saying that.
No, they're trying to save.
Trying to save you.
Yes.
Of course, they fail.
It does happen.
But
a
you
lot
can't
of times
blame us
out.
For trying.
Right.
I mean, we tried.
Sorry.
Bravely.
We're not first responders here. We're just trying to help. You know,
right.
We're trying to help our fellow man.
Yes, Yoda says, no, try not.
Do or do not. There is no try. Hmm?
But we tried. We couldn't get it done.
Sorry. Right?
So
what are we going to do?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That thing is just agonizing, though. That whole thing about Glenn stabbing, supposedly saying that he was going to stab Trump. It is so stupid as to be inconceivable to me, and I keep using that word. I don't think it means what I think it means.
Not anymore.
You know, somebody posted Alex Jones on my Facebook page, which you could go to and thumb up there on Facebook. But somebody posted a link to one of his rants about, I don't
want Glenn to go away. Actually, he's done some good stuff, but let me tell you all the ways he should go away. And by the way, I've seen his hernia. I've seen it.
He had one.
He doesn't have a hernia.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean.
Talking
he's
about
a liar.
Else.
But he goes on and on about how
he threatened to stab Trump repeatedly, and then he claims that he was talking about stabbing Stu.
Did you listen to the freaking audio?
You know, I guess we don't have the video probably today. It's up on my Facebook page.
We laughed off the air as soon as that was over. Here in Dallas, we were laughing about, at least I was. I remember laughing thinking, at least it was Stu this time.
Yeah.
It wasn't
at
me.
At least he threatened Stu's life instead of yours.
It was really funny.
So ridiculous.
So bad. Let me give you how bad it was. So bad that after this story started breaking and I started tweeting these reporters and saying, hey, because what happens is, like, I think a conspiracy site like an Alex Jones or one of his, you know, some other conspiracy nut job posted it initially.
It just shows you how credible they are, too.
Yeah.
Right.
It shows you how credible
they are. Yeah, obviously, just really.
But it's like the domino effect of these stupid things.
Right. Yeah, so it comes out. And then once that narrative is painted in people's minds, even when they hear the audio, it's hard to, like, convince them that it's not what's happening, because they've been told he was saying it about Trump. So a lot of these reporters, and from legitimate organizations, mainstream media organizations, just started, holy crap, this is the worst thing I've ever seen, and just, you know, publish. So I was individually going back and forth with them, and I think a lot of them just made honest mistakes. I mean, I don't think it was a big thing, and it was turned around in a few hours, honestly. Of course, the Trump people are still out there touting these things even after it. It was so obvious, though, that they were my favorite people for an hour. Right Wing Watch, which is an organization that, they're watching right wingers, right? Like, they're very critical of Glenn others who are conservative. They actually tweeted to me and said, look, we are no fans of Glenn Beck, but it was completely obvious he was talking about Stu.
Really?
Yeah, even they, I mean, that's
nice.
I thought that was very, very cool of them.
I mean, that's rare.
It is rare.
Right?
You know, because, look, a lot of these lines are, you know, they never get crossed. But we have done that for liberals over the years many times.
Many times.
I think that's a good way to go. I'd rather have, like, I can understand you don't like Glenn because of his beliefs and his views. And I don't mind you being critical of that. But it's like, you know, when it's something so obvious, and it's like the Trump people just continue, oh, it's so obvious. Their big claim to this initially was because the conspiracy sites, when they first posted it, edited the transcript so my comments weren't in there. So it looked like, oh, well, you know what I would say to Trump? ... I'd stab him a bunch of times. So they just, just edited me out. So it looked like he was talking about Trump. Then the audio came out, and I was in it. You could make the argument, theoretically, listening to the audio, that maybe Glenn just didn't hear me talking and just continued to talk about Trump. Now, let's be honest about this for a second. We're talking about a guy who has a company with high eight-figure revenues, he's not going on the air saying, I want to stab a presidential candidate right now. It's like so insultingly stupid on its face.
Stupid.
That's ridiculous. You'd have to defend it. But, you know, some people in the media think Glenn's crazy. So I can understand them maybe going down that road a little bit.
I will say this. There was a time in America, though, when you could joke about things, you know, like hitting somebody with a baseball bat.
In that jokey way,
and everybody knew you were joking.
Everyone knew you were joking. But you usually didn't do that about a president.
No, you didn't.
There is a line there. Like, you know, you could say that. People would say that about, I mean, people say that about Glenn. Yeah. And we're not, like, sending the FBI over to their house. Like, whatever. Right. I mean, you want to say insulting things and be a little bit over the top. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Watch, you know, Family Guy any weekend. They will kill off some celebrity.
Yeah.
South Park will, you know, I mean, South Park had a situation where they were going in and they were, they killed Donald Trump very recently. Didn't mean that they actually were going to kill Donald Trump, but at least they were joking about killing Donald Trump. Glenn wasn't even joking about killing Donald Trump. He was joking about killing me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a weird sort of weekend there.
Really weird. And here's the thing. The Secret Service investigated it. They came here to the Dallas studio, found that Glenn wasn't here, so they visited him in Washington, D.C. as well. Played the tape, watched the tape, realized there was absolutely nothing there except a joke threat against Stu's life, and the Secret Service doesn't give a rat's ass about Stu, so they don't care if Glenn stabs Stu to death. And maybe he will stab Stu to death, and that's fine. But what he did not do, was threatened Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form.
That's fine? Is that what your summary of that
was? That's exactly what he said, and I think America knows that it's fine.
it's really a bizarre one, but when you see the video itself,
I mean, come on.
There's no way you can take it wrong.
There's no way. There's absolutely no way.
He's speaking, Glenn's speaking. Yeah. He says, he screwed up an analogy. He said something like, I don't know what I would say if I were in their shoes.
I would walk a mile in their shoes. Instead, he said he'd sit in their shoes.
I don't know what I would do if I were sitting in their shoes.
Right.
So I just made the joke, and even people screwed the joke up when they were reporting it. They're like, Stu made a joke about how big Donald Trump's shoes were. No, I didn't. I didn't talk about Donald Trump's shoes.
Gosh, man.
I was just making fun of him for butchering an analogy. That's it. So, you know, I was sitting in their shoes. And I said, sitting in their shoes must be gigantic then. I mean, that's incredible.
And it frustrated Glenn.
It frustrated Glenn. And so he said to me.
Jokingly. If I were there, it would stab you
The stabbing would not stop. But when you see it on video, you see me he's talking. He hears my complaint and he stops to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I speak. The camera comes to me in a different city.
Right.
Then I make the joke. He starts laughing and then says, I would not start stabbing you. And then jeez, he laughs afterwards. So it's blatantly obvious. It's not even a joke about even if you thought it was about Trump, you'd have to think it was a complete joke. He's laughing through it. But it wasn't about Trump, quite obviously, to anybody who's actually rational. But it's amazing to look at the people who are Trump supporters and are just online. It's kind of like, we know what you did. And the Secret Service is coming. And like one person was like, you know what? I see your lies, but let's just wait to see how the Secret Service investigation comes out. Okay, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's stay in touch. So when it comes out and it's nothing, you're going to admit you were wrong, right? Because you wanted to wait to see how it came out, right?
Well, it came out.
It came out, and it's nothing.
Nothing.
Because obviously it was nothing to any thinking person. Of course, the Trump people, as you pointed out, Pat, were still doing it.
They're pushing it
because it looks, you know, obviously
that's why
it looks like they're,
you know, a lot of people have asked over the years, why do you make so much fun of Alex Jones? He really says some important things.
Yeah.
Does he? No, this is why we make fun of Alex Jones, because he has no credibility and he's an absolute and total buffoon who makes things up. Everything to him is a conspiracy. How do you explain this guy being on the Trump bandwagon? Wow, is that weird.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Well, I mean, Trump is big on the conspiracy theories. I mean,
well,
you know,
that's true.
He's saying he's going to open up the 9/11 commission. He's going to see who really knocked down the towers.
And, he acts like he's talking about the Saudis.
Right.
But I think he's talking about Bush.
Maybe. I mean, he believed Bush was the worst person ever through that entire period.
Yes, he did. So wouldn't surprise me at all if he's talking about Bush.
So there is a match there, I mean, at some level. I'm not exactly surprised. And he's been on his show, as far as I understand.
Oh, yeah, recently. You
know, so it's not a good idea.
Alex was all Twitter over the appearance of Donald on his show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be fair, he's not exactly a credible guy. He's getting the leading presidential candidate for the Republican Party on his show.
Who is also not a credible guy.
That's very true.
I mean, pretty good match.
I think one proves the other, be honest.
Really,
but, you know, look, this is who Trump is. He's that guy. And he's flaunting these reports intentionally to try to get himself attention and sympathy when he knows that most people won't bother to click on it. You know, 90% of the people who were big-time Trump people at the beginning who were going after this story were saying, hey, losers, I know you're lying, but you forgot to cover up the fact that he said, if I were there. What was he talking about, on the other side of the table? You guys are on the same show. He said, if I were there, meaning what? You're 1 inch away from him. No, idiots, we were in two different cities. Any research, watching the video makes it damn clear we're in two different cities. And they posted that, you know, 1,000 times, and then it just goes away. Once they just act as if they didn't make a mistake and go to a new complaint
to
prove their case. It's an amazing thing to see.
So amazing. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Also, German magazine, Die Welt!
Wait, do you have
Die Welt! They've released a damning report about the rise in teenage migrants in Germany, who are exploiting the loose refugee system, and they're finding ways to fund their newfound gangster rap lifestyle through selling drugs and feeding off government assistance. Breitbart London hosted the translation of what's been uncovered. And what was uncovered was this.
Eat at the teenagers, the glockenspiel, and the funding Nugen.
And that meant, of course, receiving generous benefits from the German government. Moving from underage migrant home to another invokes the old Victorian age idea of the European grand tours that aristocrats and the wealthy would take to enrich themselves in the culture of the continent, according to the report.
And that was Farfignugen, isn't
yeah, that? Yeah, yeah. That's weird.
So what part of that did Volkswagen use as their slogan?
I don't know. I don't speak German myself.
Oh, okay.
I'm just reading the report. The young people in this case have used German hospitality to commit crimes, sexually abuse women, have the time of their lives, while not one has been deported. Wow, can you believe that? After all these reports, after all this trouble they've had, all the reports of rape and sexual misconduct, especially on New Year's Eve, and nobody's been deported yet? Out of 1 million people, they've deported zero? Wow. The young culprits hail mostly from North Africa. They're flaunting their exploits on social media as they bounce around various children's asylum centers around the country. Reports of robbery, drug dealing, violence, and threats follow them wherever they go. And the cost goes beyond the lives that have been affected. Estimates show it costs German taxpayers 40 to 60,000 euros a year for each child or lying adult to keep them afloat in the system.
Awesome. I mean, you can, you know, if you want to have open borders and no huge giveaway programs, you can do that.
Yeah.
If you want to have closed borders and big government giveaway programs, you can do some of that. But it's really hard to have a country with big government giveaway programs and open borders. Those two things combined, I mean, you're just inviting people from every single depressed economy on earth to come take your free stuff. And how do you support your economy in that situation? It's very difficult.
You don't. It's called we have a country.
Okay. Is it called management?
It's called management. It's called we have borders. It's called we have a country or we don't. Okay? It's called we have to build a wall and make the Austrians pay for it.
The Austrians are going to pay for the
wall? Well, in Germany, that's what it's called. Here, it's, you know, obviously the Mexicans have to pay for it. But in Germany, it's called we have to build a wall, and we have to make the Austrians and the French pay for it.
Does Germany pay for Austria's wall?
Yes. Everybody pays for the other country's wall.
So they put two walls next to each other, and you pay for the country, the wall furthest from you, essentially.
Yes, okay. Essentially. That's the way it should go. Yeah.
That's
and look, they're going to do it. They're going to do it.
I didn't say that. Well, calm down.
They will do it.
Wow.
Because I said so. 888-727-BECK. More Pat and Stu coming up.
Hiring the right people, crucial for your success, as you know, as we know as a company. I mean, we hired Jeffy, so we know what can happen with a bad hire. It can destroy your country, your company, and your country. It's called having a country. It's called management.
Yeah.
Okay? And a good manager.
It's called we have employees.
Right.
Or we should, and we screwed up one.
Right. A good manager is not going to hire a Jeffy. You need to find the right employees, but that takes a lot of time. You can't just hire the first degenerate that walks in like Jeffy. So if you're short-staffed, this is the big issue, is if you need to hire people, you might be short-staffed. And if you're short-staffed, you don't have the time to post on dozens of job sites. That's why the Blaze uses ZipRecruiter. We've hired great people. We did not get Jeffy through ZipRecruiter. I want to make that perfectly clear in this commercial. You need to know we did not get Jeffy through ZipRecruiter. But we have found a lot of people that are essential to our success. With ZipRecruiter, you can now find qualified candidates in a fraction of the time. They post to 100-plus job sites with one single click, and you'll be instantly matched to candidates from over 6 million resumes. Plus, they help you sort them out. So you don't have, like, a big pile of 6 million resumes you need to go through. They'll help find the right people for you. Plus, you'll watch brand-new candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface within 24 hours. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses, including the one you're watching right now. And again, we did not get Jeffy through ZipRecruiter. We did not. Is that a hand spider? Is it crawling around in here? Anyway, try ZipRecruiter.
I was wondering, did we get Pat from ZipRecruiter?
He's a good employee, so probably, yes. The answer to that is probably. Try ZipRecruiter for free right now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/TheBlaze. ZipRecruiter.com/Blaze. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/Blaze. Try it for free now.
You just saw an interesting graphic about voters without a college degree or college education or probably high school education, probably not even an elementary school education. Voters
people that just say spoons.
Yeah. People who've gone to kindergarten are all Trump supporters. And no wonder he likes.
I like the low-educated voters. I love them.
Yeah, no wonder. No wonder. Because you can pull anything on them. I mean, what a stupid thing that was to say, first of all, but it's so true. Of course he loves them. They're all about him.
I thought when Trump said, me fail English, that's impossible, a little bit. That was too far. That didn't mean.
All right.
That was not a good campaign slogan. But that is what he said, I believe. I jokingly read his statement on the gay marriage.
We have to
still
read
have
that again.
I can dig it up here real quick. It's bad.
Turns out there never was a statement on gay marriage because I guess he's already stated it and he's not going to or something. I don't know. Isn't that what he was kind of saying?
I guess he doesn't want to talk about it right now. So.
Well, he already said we know.
I don't know. I honestly don't know his stand on gay marriage.
Well, he's going to tell us.
Yeah, okay.
Stu's going to read the statement because he tells us.
Yeah. He does, and he says it emphatically.
Right.
He says it emphatically, so you know it's true.
This is almost an example of how emphatically he says almost everything he says.
Yeah, it's almost as if none of them are actual policies.
Huh.
Yeah,
almost.
I'm getting close. I've got part of the quote here. Let me just see if I can get the rest of it here real quick. I am on some interesting websites. Some interesting news sources for this particular quote.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Pro gay marriage or against gay marriage?
You know, I don't know their position.
You don't know? All right.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, tell you the position, what it's called.
Why don't you do the next story, Pat? We'll come back to this here.
Sure. Majority of Americans are afraid to travel in self-driving cars. You know, that's going to be a problem for a while.
I don't think so.
That's going to be a problem for a while. There's one of them. It's a Google car. And I guess it drives itself. And 75% of Americans don't want to.
Yeah. I think that would change fairly fast, though.
I do, too.
Because more cars are going to be... We're already seeing cars on the road that do more for you while you're on the road. So we're all, you're already becoming comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Once
well,
you get that.
I will tell you this. I was afraid to push the button on my car to have it park itself at first. But then it becomes less worrisome.
Yeah, I mean,
you start to trust it.
So you do. You have that button, and you use it.
Yeah, once in a while.
And that's just like when you're backing in, or when you're parallel parking.
Parallel parking, that kind of stuff. It'll do that for you.
Yeah, because I'll give you another example. Was first getting used to the backup cameras, in which I really for when I first had them,
I'm not totally reliant on those.
See, I'm not totally. I mean, I still check your mirrors, but I mean, 99% of it for me now is that camera.
Really?
And at the beginning, it was like, okay, well, I'm going to look there, and I'll look there, I'm going to look up here. Now I'm going to use that as a reference just in case there's something really close that
that's
I can't see
I
in the mirror.
Yeah.
I don't now. It's just like full fledged.
That's what my wife does. She pulls out of the driveway, just looking at the camera.
Like I check
something out of them, like.
It's crazy when you look at somebody doing it.
Weird.
But I mean,
it's weird
when you are backing up. You know, you check the mirrors to make sure there's not something back there. Generally speaking, but you're going to get more detail what's right behind your car where you're going with that camera.
And I think we're going to get more and more stories. More and more stories of people's lives being saved, accidents being averted.
We've also gotten the opposite.
Accidents being averted, not as much.
We've gotten the opposite of cars getting into accidents because they're self-driving.
Yeah. And I think, too, with everyone kind of, not everyone, but a lot of people who are now living their lives with things like Uber and Lyft, where you're used to other people driving now. I mean, a lot of people, you know, in big cities especially, like, they're never driving their own cars. They're never driving them. You're either on cabs or Uber or public transportation. If they even have one, it's kind of a waste in a lot of these cities.
Here's what an 18-year-old named Kira said. If you have a car that drives for itself, you can't prevent yourself from getting into an accident. True, but the point is the car is supposed to react better than you, right? 24-year-old Kashmir worries about security. What if I'm driving one day and somebody hacks in my car and crashes it into another one? There's a lot of cons to this concept itself, because with a computer, you can rule the world nowadays. I mean, those are legitimate concerns. Yeah, I don't know who's hacking into car systems.
It's going to be rare.
It's going to be rare, but I guess it could happen.
It could happen. And also, like, there will be stories where these things screw up. You turn your computer on and you want to get to a website, sometimes the computer crashes, right? Like, things are going to happen that are bad. I bet you, though, when you look at this, you're going to have a much lower accident rate, and it's going to be hard for people to say no to it.
Yes.
You know, it's going to probably be a lot safer. You could probably go a lot faster eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much that we'll see. Like, will we be driving 120 miles an hour in cars that are running themselves? I don't know if we'll ever get there in our lifetime. Maybe we will.
But it'll be more important. It'll be safer. It'll be more important for you to travel and experience your family together rather than worrying about the inconvenience of driving.
Thank you, Mr.
Wait a minute.
Google driving car. Are you getting some kind of kickback from them?
Because we know
that's what they're going to be. That's what it's all going to be about.
I mean, we certainly know that your family does not want to do that with you.
Right.
Right. Yeah, like, we know that your family does not want to spend time with you.
Well, I mean.
Well, only in every circumstance they don't want to. Only every possible circumstance. But other than that, they think you're great.
Now you just made it sad.
Look at him. Oh, I was just trying to prove that's not true, and then I thought about this weekend. It is true.
It is true. All
right. I will say this. It is not me making this sad. Okay?
Can we get a shot of the Google car? Because it's kind of ugly. And then it's got all that stuff on top of it.
It's not their car, though. I mean, it's just...
No, but you got to put all that equipment on it so it works.
So
that's
the top of
like.
It is weird.
The top of it is really weird.
What is that, a Ford Edge or something like that? Something like one of those mid-range, like a Mazda SUV? I don't know what car that is, actually.
I would assume, though, if you're manufacturing the car to be self-driving, you don't put all those add-ons and the additions, it won't look as bad because it'll all be built in.
Right, yeah.
Right?
As that goes forward.
Because all the stuff that my car will do by itself is already built in and you can't tell. So I guess it would be that way, except there'd just be more sensors and stuff on the outside of the car, more cameras and sensors inside looking out. I don't know.
It just takes some time, I think. You know, I don't know how fast this stuff can move.
Well, they're telling us by 2025.
And it's crazy.
I don't know if it can happen that fast. I mean, you got these young kids. You would think it would be the youth that would be like, I want a self-driving car.
Yeah.
But these, they're saying even the young are not necessarily in favor of this. Survey also finds a majority of people want features such as emergency braking and self-parking. They're just not ready to completely turn over the wheel. And again, yeah, that's going to take time. That's going to take some time. Because if you have the emergency braking and the self-parking, you're going to mess things up for the cars that are around you, aren't you? If you have all self-driving cars on the road, you don't want one person just driving themselves. They're going to have to outlaw
that.
This is the argument, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it would make a difference. In theory, these things are supposed to react to, unless there's someone who's intentionally trying to crash into cars. The whole point is that these cars miss what's around them. They're not necessarily talking to each other.
Yeah.
They're just missing what's around them. So they won't know if a car next to them, theoretically, is self-driving or not. I think over time, they will start talking to each other. Like, you'll know, you know.
And then, will they start hating their owners and running into each other? Will that happen?
No.
It's possible.
Is that possible?
It's possible. Jeffy Anything knows. Is possible.
Jeffy, you know it's possible. Stu won't admit this stuff. You just
I won't. Well, maybe if we are able to really go into the future with a great president who knows how to speak in an articulate fashion about the viewpoints he holds so strongly.
Okay.
Like Donald Trump on gay marriage, for example.
Okay, because this is really articulate. This is some of the most articulate he's ever been.
Ask me what my position to give out gay marriage is. Go ahead.
Donald, what's your position on gay marriage?
Well, I've made it very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And we have a policy on it.
Okay.
And I've said it very, very strongly.
Okay, so you made it strong and you've said it strongly.
I think you know it.
No.
And it's all done.
Okay, so.
It's complete.
What is it?
It's all done. Okay. How many times do I have to say it?
Once.
Okay. It's like, as an example, let me give you an example. Okay?
All right.
It's like, as an example, what is my position on 900 different things?
You've had 900 different positions.
I've said it 150 times.
I guess 1,800 positions on 900 things.
You want a good specific example of what I'm talking about?
Yes.
What's my position on 900 things?
I've
said it 150 times.
That's it. And so that's it.
So right? I think, yeah.
So that's a clear position, man. That's
a pretty
solid.
Good position.
He's right. He's been strong on it, and he said it strongly.
Can we translate this for a second? Well, I've made it very, very strong. Okay, so he's been really outspoken about it, I think is what he's trying to say there, maybe?
Yeah, and I've never heard of it.
We have a policy on it.
Okay.
And I've said it very, very strongly. So he has not weakly said his policy. He said it in a strong way. Mm-hmm. And I think you know it. So is he trying to call them? Yeah. And then he says, and it's all done. Like, so this is not one of the policies that he's changing in the middle of debates. Like, this one is done. He won't tell us what it is, but it's done.
Jeez, man.
How many times do I have to say it? It's like, as an example, what's my position on 900 different things? I've said it 150 times. I'm not adding anything to that. That's actually the quote.
It's an amazing quote.
Yeah. Now, he said that he supports traditional marriage in the past.
Oh, he does?
According to some of these
sites. He said it strongly?
If you want a specific example. What have I said about 900 things?
Well, you've said it strongly.
I've said it very strongly.
Can we go back to the last? Let's go back to the last picture of Trump. I just want to make one point, not this one, but the one. Yeah, right there. Can you get a close up of that? What is the story there with the eyebrows? When you're a billionaire, when you're worth $10 billion, shouldn't you have somebody that's trimming that crop that's going on there?
Yes.
That's unsightly.
No.
Need to take some scissors.
I'm sure the wife tells him, Don.
Don, you got to. She's
you know
obviously
what?
Not.
No, she's not.
She's not.
She's not.
I think that's an important point. You can't have this guy being president with eyebrows.
Oh, the eyebrow rule.
Right?
Yeah, it's the eyebrow clause.
Yes.
It's in the Constitution. More patents, too, coming up. That also is in the Constitution.
That patents, too, is coming up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at it. Retire from pro football. It is the happiest day. Actually, it didn't sound like that when Peyton Manning, because he didn't. First of all, he didn't retire in the 30s at Yankee Stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
But so. Much more dramatic. And really uninteresting at the time, because no one would have known who he was. They wouldn't have accomplished anything.
Plus, fortunately, he didn't get a, like, Peyton Manning disease like Lou Gehrig did.
That was really unfortunate.
I mean, Lou Gehrig got Lou Gehrig's disease. What are the odds, Pat?
What are the odds?
I would think slim.
We should talk about that
and
again.
And yet it happened.
It's 1-1.
No, come on. Mm-hmm. It's got to be bigger than that. Yep. It's got to be at least 2 or 3 to 1. Think of it. The guy whose name Lou Gehrig.
I got it.
Lou came Gehrig's down with disease. Lou Gehrig's disease.
Can we do the Trump speech here?
No, not until you admit that the odds are astronomical.
Right. Incredible. Incredible.
Anyway.
Huge. The odds are huge.
Huge. Peyton retired today.
Yep.
39 years old, I believe. And a good way to go out with the Super Bowl title.
That's the best way to go out. And the same Elway went out. I mean, he won 2 Super Bowls the last 2 years. But interesting to see that happened to really one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, really, for sure. He's definitely top 5. I think you said I agree, top 5. It's hard when you get to the top 5 to really differentiate between them. I mean, you got Montana with 4 Super Bowls.
Brady. He's got to be in that conversation.
He has 4 as well, I think, right? Yeah, he's got 4 out of 6.
Right. Yeah,
4. He won 4 out of 6, I think. He's 4-2 in Super Bowls.
Bradshaw has 4.
You got Terry Bradshaw's got 4, but his stats are not. They don't put him in that conversation.
Okay. Yeah, he's a great Super Bowl quarterback, but he's not
Favre,
in the conversation.
Who only has 1 Super Bowl.
But great numbers.
Marino
with no Super Bowls.
Marino.
Steve Young. In the fringes of that conversation, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? I mean, there's a lot. A lot of great quarterbacks. When you're talking about
Sammy Baugh.
Well, and, seriously, Johnny Unitas, Otto Graham.
Those guys were all
tremendous.
I don't think they compare to the later guys. I really don't.
I don't know. It's just a different kind of football.
It's a different kind of football.
Not for Unitas, though. Unitas was the guy that transformed it, right?
Yeah.
Into the passing game.
Certainly one of the main catalysts for that.
Sonny Jurgensen.
Yeah, I don't know if I would put Sammy. He's got a great quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of good
quarterback,
guys.
But he's not the top 5.
He could throw the ball like 150,000 yards, though.
Well, he was, 390 pounds, Sonny Jurgensen.
So what's wrong with that? That's why he was my hero.
Where do you guys think Tim Tebow stands in this?
He's number six.
Okay, he's outside the top 5, you think?
Barely. He's knocking on the door, though, and trying to get in.
All right, so let's do this. This is a speech. There's a Trump speech generator. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Insta-Trump. Mm-hmm. Can we look at this? Kind of amazing technology because his speeches are so bad. Let's make speeches Trump again. The website will mathematically generate Trump speeches for you. Not sure math and Trump go together. Click the button to find out. Do we have some examples of this?
Huge. Duh speech. South Carolina. Is this an actual Trump speech or is this something
we're
turning
into? Can you walk us through this, Aaron? I don't think we're understanding exactly what we're doing here. Apparently.
It's a generated speech using pieces. So I can't put in a speech and it'll turn it into a Trump speech.
It's Trumpifying real speeches? Is that what it's doing?
These are, bits and pieces of actual Trump speeches, like something about a military island in the middle class who lowered taxes. We're lowering taxes on business. You look at all those cameras. They're a great family. So they're putting bits and pieces. I mean, this would be funnier if it used his actual words.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Yeah. It's kind of a weird concept. It would be interesting to see. I would like to see some speeches, like famous ones like JFK's, that's not what your country can do for you, but like written
Trumpified.
In Trump. Trumpified.
Yes,
that would be interesting.
Great.
I like that.
That would be great.
Did you see this one, George Takei? Was that his name? How do you say Takei?
I'm always confused on whether it's Takei or Takei.
So he posted
one of them's an insult in Japanese, and he doesn't like it.
Okay.
But I forget
which
it is.
So we're not trying to insult him.
That's the one. Yeah, we are.
Okay, we are.
No.
Jeffy is. So he posted a comment on his thing, which has made the rounds quite a bit. I guess it wasn't, he didn't write it, but. This is a proposed Trump speech. I have to say a lot of people have been asking this question. No, really, a lot of people come up to me and they ask me. They say, what's 2 plus 2? And I tell them, look, we know what 2 plus 2 is. We've had almost 8 years of the worst kind of math you can imagine. oh my God, I can't believe it. Addition and subtraction of the ones and the twos and the threes. It's terrible. It's just terrible. Look, if you want to know what 2 plus 2 is, do you know want to know what 2 plus 2 is? I'll tell you. First of all, the number 2. By the way, I love the number 2. It's probably my favorite number. No, it is my favorite number. You know what? It's probably more like the number 2, but with a lot of zeros behind it. A lot. If I'm being honest, I like a lot of zeros, except for Marco Rubio. Now, he's a zero that I don't like, though I probably shouldn't say that. He's a nice guy, but he's like 10101010 and on like that. He's like a computer. You know what I mean? He's like a computer. I don't know. I mean, you know? So we have these numbers, and we can add them and subtract them and then times them even. Do you know that? We can times them or divide them. They don't tell you that. And I'll tell you, no one is better at the order of operations than me. You wouldn't believe it. So we're going to be the best on 2 plus 2. Believe me? Okay.
Actually, after that, I don't want to insult him.
It's pretty good.
That's really
good. He didn't
write
it, but it's still pretty funny.
That's great.
You watch these speeches, and he's just...
Fragments.
It's just like he's doing speeches inside of speeches, and he's just going off on things that aren't related. Yeah. And it's like... The man is, he's nutty.
Psychotic, perhaps?
He really is, yes.
Bordering on psychosis. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. More patents, too, is, you know, inevitable. Pretty much.
Sad, I say.
Back 888-727-BECK. It is Pat and Stu. Wanted to show you this Trump.org special. It's kind of a fun website. Can we get a shot of the of what the Trump.org? Yeah, he's got a trumpet and it blows his hair like that. And yeah, love its eyes.
This is the whole site.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it does.
You say that like it's okay, you want more, Stu.
What else do you need, Stu? You get the hair blowing and the trumpet and the trumpet wind.
And the eyes following the trumpet.
That's great.
It's great. Is it TrumpDonald.org? Is that the actual website?
Mm-hmm.
All right. there it is. Amaze and delight all your friends with it. 888-727-BECK. Stu's actually offended on Donald's behalf. He's actually offended.
I am curious about what would actually happen if you did that to his hair. Would it look like that?
Yeah, have you not seen that picture where it blows in the wind?
Yeah, I've seen that. It's not exactly what that does.
Crazy.
But there's something weird going on there.
Something super weird going on there. There's a massive comb over, the likes of which have never been seen on this planet before. There's a comb-over of biblical proportions. Parting the Red Sea is almost not as impressive as what he does to cover up whatever bald spot he's got going on there.
I wonder, what does he look like when he wakes up?
I'd love to know. If Melania would snap a photo of him and send it to us,
yeah,
I'd be willing to pay almost any amount of money for that.
No, you would not.
Really?
No, Jeffy, we don't want you to break in. Do your little Aaron Andrews treatment of... That's not right.
All right, we got interesting places Oscar winners keep their Oscars. Number one, Timothy Hutton won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar in 1981 for his performance in Ordinary People. Did you see Ordinary People? And there he is right there.
There he is.
Look at Timothy Hutton.
Quite a young Timothy Hutton there. He was a big deal back then. He recently said that he and his sister were having a party at his house a few years ago, decided to stick his Oscar in the fridge. They wanted people who went to grab a beer to be entertained, and they've kept it in the icebox ever since.
How about in the Kevin Costner, who won Best Director for Dances with Wolves, admits he stashed the Oscar away for a few years in his underwear drawer, which is interesting. You wouldn't want to put it in Jeffy's underwear drawer.
No.
But I think...
You'd never touch it again if you did that.
Yeah. I mean, that's just disgusting.
He's People actually
have underwear
since...
drawers.
People have underwear too, just so you know. Mm-hmm. So break that news to you as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Why?
I guess he built a trophy case though later. Anyway, as a doorstop, apparently Charlie Chaplin won the very first special Oscar, and his affinity and reverence for the award was clearly displayed when he used it as a doorstop in his mansion for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Great. James Stewart won an Oscar for best actor in the film The Philadelphia Story in 1941. He mailed the award to his father in Pennsylvania, and for the next 25 years, the statue was proudly displayed at the family hardware store.
What are you getting? There you go. You're Scroy. That's what you are. You're working for Potter now.
Do they call him James Stewart?
No, I've always called him Jimmy. Jimmy Stewart.
So Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
James
forever.
Stewart.
You didn't even know who they were talking about at first,
did
you?
It didn't click when it's James Stewart.
It's James Stewart. Philadelphia Story, that's what he won an Oscar for?
Hmm.
Has he won more than one, Jimmy Stewart?
Because he's terrific, is what he is, or was, you say.
In The Chicken Coop, Russell Crowe kept his Best Actor Academy Award that he won in 2000 for Gladiator. In his chicken coop, he claims it helps the hens lay bigger eggs. I don't believe that, frankly.
No?
No.
Wow.
I do not believe
that. So you're like a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, yeah, I'm skeptical on the chicken coop thing.
Some of them have been stolen and never recovered, including, Hattie McDaniel's historic Best Supporting Actress Oscar from 1939, from Gone with the Wind, which she won for her unforgettable performance in Gone with the Wind. It was the first ever Oscar awarded to an African-American. After her death, her Oscar was willed to Howard University in Washington, D.C., and then it was stolen and never recovered.
Dun-da-da. Holy cow. Wow. 1939. So the first black Oscar went to someone in 1939. That's before I would have thought.
Racist organization, I'll tell you that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although it's before I would have thought.
Racists? Why didn't they have... Let me ask you this question. If they're not racist, why don't black people get all the Oscars?
It's a good no
question. Answer.
No answer to that.
I can't.
As Chris Rock was pointing out, this is actually a pretty good point. He's like, what we need to, because his joke was, what we need to do is if we want black people to win Oscars, we need to have black categories.
Yeah.
And just have, but he went on to make a very good point after that, which was, what is the point of having best actor and best actress?
Right.
Like, well, if there's
a good, really good point.
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
Can women not compete with men in acting ability? Of course they can.
Of course they can.
It's not like, you know, it's not like MMA, as I think it was his example, where you can't really combine the divisions. And this one, you probably could.
That was a really weird opening monologue because he took both sides of the issue the whole time.
Yeah.
First of all, it wasn't a big deal. We got other things to worry about. Secondly, it was a big deal, and we are worried about it.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, he was supposed to savage Hollywood so badly, and really he kind of went both ways on it. That was a weird 10 minutes or so. Also, we have resident swimmers clashing over clothing optional beaches, North Shore Beach, and they both say the law is on their side. Polo Beach in Mokulea has long been known as a clothing optional beach, a fact that angers area homeowners. Denise Cahew and other residents say the nudity has gotten out of hand and the public decency laws should be enforced to keep beachgoers clothed. It's been going on for so long, we're basically getting tired that we don't have anybody from the government or state helping us on this. A lot of people showing up naked, and my guess is they're not attractive people.
Yeah.
Because, as a rule, I don't think it's attractive people that are getting naked and going swimming on the beach.
Is it a nice...
It doesn't happen, is it?
Is it a nice beach, Jeffy?
It is not necessarily true.
Really?
Right.
You're saying hot babes go to new
beaches,
say that. Take off their clothes, and go swimming? No. I just don't buy that. I think big fat people do that. It's just my guess. It'd be more like you and me out there on the beach running around naked, except I'd never do that.
But if that were to happen, the attract...
If that were to happen, the
attract,
neighbors would, in fact, complain.
That would have... Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they'd close that thing down.
Yeah, it'd be shut down immediately.
Have you been to this particular one, Jeffy? been.
And this particular one? No.
No.
Okay. No. But it's said that it's been going on for so long that, you know, that it's already a clothing optional, if not a nudist beach. So their argument is the neighborhood can go screw off. We've been doing it forever. Good luck. God bless. You're not getting rid of us.
Mm.
Okay.
I wouldn't like that, though, if I, of course.
You wouldn't move there.
You wouldn't move there, right?
Right.
If somebody, your realtor says, oh, by the way, that's a nude beach behind you. You're like, okay, well, maybe we'll look for a different neighborhood.
Or if you're
Jeffy, you'd say, hey,
or
where do I
you're
sign?
Like, okay, well, let me sign it up. Because you wouldn't want your children, you know, seeing that.
Why?
It would be a defining characteristic of the neighborhood as you moved in, I would say.
I would think you'd probably know about it. Yeah. Yeah.
No, Jenny?
You wouldn't want your kids to see other people naked?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a weird concept. Let's explain it to you off the air. I think it would be a good way to.
I don't know why that would be.